Let's go into the world this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. There is no contradiction. We declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou art known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is what? In Christ Jesus. It says all scriptures in verse 16 are given by inspiration, and they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all what? Good works. So now backtrack. We said that scriptures will mean Genesis to what? Genesis to what? So it means that Paul is telling Timothy that salvation is a theme of Genesis to what? Malachi. Okay? Beautiful. So it means that we must go back to Genesis to Malachi to see God's salvation what? Plan. Look at Luke 24 verse 24. Luke 24 verse 24 to 27. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools. Let's read verse 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Then verse 27 together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. So, what did Jesus do? He expounded unto them, beginning at where? Moses. That is the writings of Moses. Is that true? Is that true? Now, look at verse 44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were what? Written in the what? Law of Moses. Are we here? Law of Moses. Is that law the Ten Commandments? So what is the word there, law? Writings, right? Because from 24, he already told us that beginning at Moses, that is the writings of Moses. So he says, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the writings of Moses. Are we here? In the prophets and in the Psalms concerning what? Me. So a good student of God's word will see God's plan or Moses' writings and the prophet's writings concerning the person Jesus. Are we together? Look at John 5 verse 39. John 5 verse 39. It says, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which what? Testify of me. Yeah? If particularly speaking about the writings of Moses, because if you read in context, when you get to verse 45, look at verse 45, look at verse 44. It says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Now verse 46 now says something. It says, let's read verse 46 together. 1, 2, 3, go. You would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Look at verse 47. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my? So when he says you search the scriptures, who is the context of who he's talking about? The writings of Moses. Are we together? So let's go back to the writings of Moses like we've done. And let's explain something. I want us to look at something very important today. I said we were going to look at it on Wednesday. What did I say? The Ten Commandments. Are we together? Let's look at the Ten Commandments. Now, let's backtrack a little. You know, interpretation of scriptures today will never mean what it never meant. Did you get that? I'll say that again. Interpretation of scriptures today will never mean what it never meant. Interpretation of scriptures today will never mean what it never meant. So the Bible today does not mean what it never meant. Interpretation of scriptures today will never mean what it never meant. What it meant is what it means. So it means that if we are going to interpret scriptures in our day's language today, in today's language, we would have to have interpreted it from their days. What? Interpretation of scriptures today can never mean what it never meant. Are we together? And I'll give this example like I gave recently. Imagine I send a message to Sister Rose and I say, "Ah, my dear sister, how are you doing? Ah, there's this brother who I know. The guy is so good in Yahoo. He's inviting us to join his team. And he's assuring us that this time next year we'll hammer." Are we together? Right? "My sister or Sister Rose, there's this guy that is good at his thing or is good at what he does. He's into what Yahoo. Right? And he has invited us to come and join his team, assuring us that this time next year we will what? Hammer." Are we together? Today now, in a layman's English, what is the meaning of that statement? They're going to break through and make more money. They say it's thieves that break through. No, but Jesus said it now. Okay, so he's saying, the email is saying that there's a brother I know, he's good in Yahoo. What qualifies the Yahoo that he's good in? They are marrying. Are we together? For me to say you will hammer this time next year, right? That in our day and time qualifies the Yahoo. So imagine 100 years from now, one professor of English claims, or professor of, you know, philosophy, or one big one, one man just says that, "Hey, look at this email. Hey, wow. So that time people used to hammer from Yahoo Mail. Or some people used to, or people who work for Yahoo were carpenters." Are we together? Because hammer is that tool which you use to hit a nail into the wall. So, for him to understand what I meant to her today, he needs to sit where she is sitting. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? So, we need to sit where the audience... So, 100 years from now is like over 2,000 years backwards from us. Are we together? Let me ask you a question. Are there words that have changed in meaning over the years? You know, I said in one of our teachings, right? Like, if recently we started using the word goat for what? Greatest of all time. If they called you goat in 2005, what will you do if we're in primary school? I'll tell about me for you. What will you say? But today they call you goat, what will you say? Now you be that. Are we together? So, we must sit where Moses' audience sat, where the prophet's audience sat, where Jesus' audience sat, and where the apostles' audience what sat. We are not in their day, but we have writings of their what day. So it means that we need to sit where they sat to hear what they heard when we see 10 commandments. Are we here? Are we here? I said again, we need to sit where they sat to hear what they heard when Moses said, or when you see the writings of what? 10 commandments. Now, this is a very vital fact to note. In the entire writings of Moses, the words 10 commandments was only used in 3 places. I'll say that again. In the entire writings of Moses, it was used 3 times. 10 commandments was used 3 times. Note, I did not say commandments. 10 commandments. Beautiful. I'll give you the scriptures quickly to just write down so that we'll visit them. Exodus 34 verse 27 to 28, Deuteronomy 4 verse 12 and 13, Deuteronomy 10 verse 3 and 4, Deuteronomy 34 verse 27-28, Deuteronomy 4, Exodus 24, 34, sorry, did you get that? Exodus 34, 27-28, Deuteronomy 4, verse 12-13, Deuteronomy 10, verse 3-4. Now go to Exodus 34 quickly. Exodus 34, verse 27. Those were the 3 times that you see 10 commandments in the Bible. So if you have that Bible that you can search for, right, Tekata, you can just search for 10 commandments to come out just 3 times in those 3 places. Now look at Exodus 34, 27. "And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words." Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go.
"And the Lord said unto Moses, write
37, 28, 1, 2, 3, go. What did he write upon the tables? The words of the covenant. Comma, what? 10 commandments. What did he write on the table? The words of the covenant. Are we together? We've handled in chapter 33 when Moses said, show me your glory. Is that true? Right? Show me your glory. Right? And we explained that. We've also explained what Moses meant when he said, God will hide him in a cleft in the what? Rock. The rock is the rock of what? Salvation. Christ. Are we together? So it means that in the rock there are many places, which is what John now teaches in John 14 verse 2. So we've explained all of that. We've explained what he meant by God will cover, right? The eyes of Moses. Are we together? And we said the word there cover is to what? Overshadow. Yes, or to be a shield. So it meant that in the cliff that God will hide man, his hand will what? Shield over man. Yeah, and not that I'll cover your eyes, then close your eyes, you will now go to the front. Open your eyes, and that's how I saw your back. No, John 1:17-18 says, no man at any time had seen God. 1 Timothy 6:16, the same thing. No man, including Moses. Are we together? Yeah, no man has seen God in the flesh. Are we together? The first time mankind saw God was in John chapter 1 verse 14. The word became what? Flesh. Beautiful. So, after all of that experience, we now go to chapter 34. He now says Moses fasted for how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor water. And he wrote upon the tables the what? Words of the covenant. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. So it means that the words of the covenant are the what? 10 commandments. You see what my hand is doing? Yes, 10 command. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. It says, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of fire, ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only heard a voice. Now look at verse 13. And he declared unto you his what? His what? So he declared unto you his what? What did Exodus 34 say? Words of the covenant. So he declared unto you his covenant which he commanded you to perform, even. Do you see that? The 10 commandments. So before you get to the conversation of 10 commandments, you have already gotten the understanding of words of covenant. Did you get that? So he says, the 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of the what? Stone. Look at chapter 10, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Of shittim wood, and hewed 2 tables of stone like unto the first, and went up, and went up into the mount, having the 2 tables in my hands. Let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord given. Beautiful. Now, let's do a quick study. The word there, commandments, remember I said something. Commandments was not used only 3 times in Moses' writings. Are we together? But the phrase together, 10 commandments, was used only 3 times. Now, for every 3 times that 10 commandments was used, the word commandment is different from the other commandments used. I'll say that again. For the 3 times that the word 10 commandments was used, 10 and commandments were used together, the interpretation of the Hebrew word commandment was only used or is different from the commandment in 10 commandments. Right? Now, the word there commandment is got it from the Hebrew word dabar. Dabar. D-A-B-A-R. Dabar. Yeah, D-A-B-A-R, dabar. And it's a word that speaks about words. Did you get that? D-A-B-R. So commandment is dabar, and it speaks about words. It It's a phrase usually, Daba usually is used to describe a person, an action, sometimes a thing, or sometimes an experience. Daba, to describe a person, actions, or experiences, or things, and all of that. Go back to Exodus 34. Let's see something in verse 27. So, and the Lord said unto Moses, write down these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with what? Israel. Now verse 28 now says what? And he was there with the Lord 40 days, did not eat, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the ten. So replace the word commandment. No, replace the word commandment. What is Daba? Words. So, we can replace 10 commandments with what? 10 words. So, does that over-explain words of the covenant? Are we together? So, does that explain words? So, we said upon the tables, the words of the covenant, the 10 words. The 10 what? Commandments. Look at verse 32. He now says, and afterwards all the children of Israel came there, and he gave them in commandment. Remember, so remember I told you, is there 10 before this commandment? So is this commandment Daba? We are following. So, and he gave them in commandment. That word, their commandment, is the word sava. And I'll just give you the meaning. It means to charge or to order. To charge or to order. To charge or to order. So we've read verse 27, 28, when it says he was giving 10 words. Now Moses is now saying, and afterwards all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment. Can we say he gave them by charging them? Did you get that? Did you get that? He gave them by charging them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Look at 33. He now says, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his what? On his what? Face. Paul now teaches in 2 Corinthians. As the veil was upon the face of Moses, right? So was the veil on their what? Their hearts. Did you get that? So he says, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. 34. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off, and until he came out, and he came out and spake unto the children of Israel, that which he was what? Was what? This commandment? Charged. Are we together? So he spake unto them that which he was what? Charged. Look at verse 35. That's Safar. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. Yeah, you see, when we pay attention to the writings of Moses or the writings of the prophets, you'll realize that a lot of times we just need to pay attention to the workings of miracles or the supernatural things that happen to them. Let me give you an example. You know that Samson? How many of you know Samson? Samson and who? Beautiful. You know Samson wasn't muscular. Samson wasn't big. There's no record in the book of Judges that shows us he was big. So that's what you will not see them write, is the Spirit of God was upon Samson. Altogether, some of us thought that Samson was Jim, all his muscle was like when he bounced like this. Our children Bible study, they used to draw him big. In fact, there's a movie on Samson. You've watched it. That was massive. So, when he says his face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Look at verse 36. Okay, that's 35, right? So, we said the word commandment there is to charge or to order. So, when Jesus says, keep my commandment, is keep my what? Keep my what? Sava, which is what? My charge. Are we together? Check verse 2. Okay, yeah, so this is the beginning of the conversation. And look at verse 1. There's no one. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. Verse 2. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount what Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the what? So this is the background story of verse 27 we read. Are we following? Yes, are we following? Before you must have read this, go back to chapter 2, verse 23. Chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by the reason of the what? Bondage. Verse 24. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his what? God remembered his what? His covenant with what? Abraham and what? Isaac. Now, this covenant is with who? Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. Is it the same covenant? Is it the same covenant? Do you suppose that this covenant should be the same that Moses is communicating to the Israelites? Are we following? But keep reading. Look at verse 25. So, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So let me ask you a question. The covenant to Abraham, is that the covenant to Isaac? Is it the covenant to Jacob? Is it the covenant to the children of Israel? Are we here? Same covenant. Are we together? So Moses is now showing you that from the beginning. So remember, the same audience that Moses is writing Exodus to is the same audience he wrote Genesis to. Did you get that? So it means that when he says the covenant you made to Abraham, God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where will you find it? In Genesis. Did you get what I just did? If you want to explain where the children of Israel were, where you see the writings of the covenant God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you'll find it where? In Genesis. Beautiful. Look at Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in the vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of what? Verse 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou art given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowel shall be thy heir. Look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou wilt be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy what? Seed be. Have we explained who the seed be? Seed is?
Yes,
okay. Who is the seed?
Christ.
Who is the seed?
Christ.
Look at verse 6. He now says, and he what? So did he believe in the words of God? Look at verse 18. After these things, verse 18, and in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the what? Great river, or the river of Euphrates. Are we together? So Abraham believed in the word. Is that true? Did Abraham believe the word of the Lord? Look at chapter 26, verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Now, listen to this. Abraham did what? Are we here?
Yes.
Abraham did what?
Obeyed.
Obeyed my voice. Is Abraham obeyed my voice equal to believe my covenant?
Yes.
Are we here?
Yes.
Are we here? There's no difference, right? So Abraham obeyed my voice. He now says what? My commandment, my status, my law. So it means that the commandment to Abraham is his charge, which is the voice of the Lord, which is the covenant of God with him. I'll say that again. The commandment to Abraham is the voice of God to Abraham, which in reference to voice he obeyed, in reference to covenant he what? Believed. Are we here? So, in reference to covenant, he believed. In reference to commandment or charge, in what? He obeyed. He hearkened. Are we together? So, Do you suppose that those commandments or those covenants will be the same covenant that God will make with the children of Israel? Saints, are we here? Please don't lose me. Don't lose me. Right? Do you suppose, now, is God a promise keeper? Is God a covenant keeping God? There is no, so if God is a covenant keeping God, if he kept to that, to the promise with Abraham, or to Abraham, to who? Isaac, to Jacob. Will it be the same covenant to the children of those offspring? Why? Because he is a covenant what? Keeping God. So can we say that the writings or the covenant Moses had, the covenant Abraham had, which he believed, which he obeyed, is the same covenant Moses communicated to the children of Abraham's offspring? Are we here?
Yes.
The offspring of Abraham will be the children of Israel. Are we together? As a corporate status, right? So, by extension, there's a covenant already existing with their fathers. Are we together? Will God change that covenant? It will be the same. So it will mean that if Moses is going to communicate to the same children of Israel, he will be communicating the same thing or the same covenant to their fathers. Did you get that? Look at Exodus 6:2. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 to 5. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the what? The Lord. Verse 3. And I appeared unto what? Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of what? God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established a covenant with them to give them the what? Land of Canaan, and the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were what? Strangers. Look at verse 5. He now says, and I have also heard the groaning of children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my what? My what? My covenant. Beautiful. So, look at Exodus 19:3. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 to 6. And Moses went up to the God, went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob. Are we following? Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Right? Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice. Now, this, if you obey my voice, is it, would it have been the same thing to Abraham? Did you get that? Did Abraham obey God's voice? What is God asking the offspring of Abraham to do? Obey his voice. So he says, if thou will obey my voice indeed, and keep my what? Covenant. He says, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. So it means that the end goal of keeping the Ten Commandments is to be a treasure unto God. Please, don't lose me. Did you get that? So, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is what? Mine. Look at verse 6. He now says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of what? Remember, did God promise Abraham a land? Did God promise Abraham a land? Right? The land will typify the land of the believers. Is that true? City of the living God? What is the profession of the people in that land? Priests. So when he says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, is this where Peter is teaching from? Is that where Peter is teaching from?
Yes.
Beautiful. So he says, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. He now, remember, the Bible is to be read holistically. Are we together? The Bible is to be read as a whole. So you must have read Exodus chapter 1 before you get to chapter 34. Now look at chapter 34. Verse 27. So, the same covenant to Abraham is the same covenant to Isaac. Is it the same to Jacob? Is it also the same to the children of Israel? So look at it now. He now says, the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made with a covenant with thee and with Israel. Look at verse 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. And he wrote upon the tables the what? The what? The words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So, will the words of the covenant there be that which is to Abraham? Which is, that is to Isaac? That is to who? Beautiful. So, the covenant has been seen. So, Moses is communicating the same covenant to Abraham's offspring, which are the children of what? Israel. So remember, we've explained. So we can replace 10 covenants with 10 words. Is that true?
Yeah.
Beautiful. So look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus 21, and God spake all these words, saying, let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Look at verse 3. Number 4. The first one is about who is it with? Okay, hold on. Who is it with regards to? Thou shalt not make any other God. Right? Is regards to who? God. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Is regards to? Look at verse 5. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them. In regards to who? God, are you there? For I, the Lord thy God, am a what? Jealous God. We'll look at what jealous God means. You see, some of us believe God is God has insecurity. There's like, you know, when you have your girlfriend or somebody's. I read a post over the weekend about someone who was in Joss or something like that, you know, and they were fighting in the house. You know, and they decided not to, but they went at the same bus to office, so they decided not to talk to themselves. So when they entered the bus, the woman sat in front, the man sat behind, and they were boning. And one man beside the woman in front was just, oh wow, you smell nice, you look beautiful, all those kind of things. And the lady was just smiling. Oh, and the soldier man now started saying, oh, I'll just move to this place, you know, and I have a house somewhere there, you know, will you come and visit me so you know my house? I'm just new in the environment. A guy behind was hearing everything. You know, I say, sorry, did you forget to put spoon in Chidumbem's lunchbox? So when the man noticed that, it's like the soldier did not still understand it. He now said, please make a... because he was supposed to drop before the woman drops. And a guy know that if he drop, they don't know where the... You know, so they shall laughed and it now came down. You know, and the woman started asking, who is Chidumbem? I don't think they ever had any child. He said, did you forget to put spoon inside Chidumbem? He was just trying to emphasize that that is his wife. But the children now asked, is that your husband? You know, so that is jealousy. So we think that is what God is. For God is a jealous God. You see, God is a jealous God, and it is seen in the fact that he fights for his own till the very end. Assurance given to his own. We'll look at that in days to come. So we've looked at the first two commandments in quotes. Are we together? We looked at it, the first two that Moses wrote, and they were in regards to who? Their worship of God. Thou shalt have no other God except me. Thou shalt not create any other image of God except me. Thou shalt not bow down to other gods. So that is in reference to their worship of who? God. Look at verse 5. And verse 5. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them. I was together, verse 6. And showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me. Amen. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. Is that a reference to God? Is that a reference to God? Look at the next verse, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Is that a reference to worship of God? Look at verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Verse 10. But the seventh day is Sabbath unto the Lord. And all of that. Look at verse 11. For in the 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all of that, and the rest and all of that. Then verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and mother. Is it reference to man? The first 5 we saw is a reference to who? Worship of God. Is this a reference to man? Look at next verse. Thou shalt not kill. Is it reference to man? Can you kill God? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is it reference to man? Verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Is it reference to man? Can you steal from God? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Is it reference to man? Look at verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Huh. So it's not today it started. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. Is that a reference to man? Please hold on. Right? So the emphasis of the first five is in reference to the worship of Yahweh. Are we together? Who delivered them from bondage. The emphasis of the second five is in reference to what? Their relationship with what? Men. Beautiful. Now, quickly run with me to Mark's Gospel 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Hello, saints. Are we here? So they asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Look at the next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto them, the first of all commandments is what? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is what? One Lord. Next verse. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, thy mind, and with thy strength. This is the what? First what? When we read Exodus, how many were there in reference to this singular thing he summarized? Five. Look at number verse 31. The second is like this, right? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy. There is no other commandment greater than what? Where is Jesus teaching ten commandments? Where is Jesus teaching these two commandments from? Say it better. Where is Jesus teaching these two commandments from? You got it. The ten commandments. In quotes. What are the ten commandments? Ten dabar. Ten words. So what did Jesus... Now, look at... Matthew explains it, but look at Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So, they'll be asking from the numerous laws, which is the greatest. Are we here? Is it the same account with Mark? Saints, is it the same account with Mark? So, which is the greatest? 36, 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart. So, if you love the Lord, if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, you will not have any other God. You will not bow to any other image. You will keep the Sabbath day holy. Did you get that? See the second one, verse 38. This is the first and great commandment. Look at verse 39. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the what? Prophets. Let me show you something. The word first in verse 36, the word first in verse 36 is the word proton. As the word that implies before. I'll say it again. The word first in verse 36 is the word proton. It's a word that implies, you know, before. Now, that word proton is a word used for that which sets the pace of what comes ahead. I'll say it again. The word proton is a word used for that which sets the pace or that which or what comes ahead of others. I'll say it again. The word proton is a word used for that which sets the pace or what comes ahead of others. So it means that every other thing will build on it. Do you understand what that means? Yeah, proton. Every other thing will build on it. So that which comes or that which sets the pace ahead of others. Now, the word there second, remember, Jesus said first commandment is this. He now says the second. Second commandment, the word there second is the word deuterios. Deuterios. D-E-U-T-E-R-O-S. D-E-U, and I'll tell you the meaning of what that means, or what that implies, so to say. D-E-U-T-E-R-O-S. Deuterios. And that word actually implies subsequently. Does that bring light to that? So the one first is that which sets the pace of others to follow. Then it's, the word second is what? Subsequent. So it means that if the first five or if the first commandment is akin to, subsequently the second one will follow or subsequently the next will follow. Did you get that? So first is love thy God, thy Lord. Love the Lord thy God. Subsequently is what? Love thy neighbor. So it means that the 10 commandments, the 10 words, right, of Moses, that Moses gave is the constant commandment. Remember, Let me ask you a question. Remember, the covenant to Abraham is a covenant of deliverance into a land. The covenant to Abraham is a covenant of deliverance, or the covenant of a land. I will give thee a land. Remember that? Yeah. So, in the real sense, by extension, it's the same to Isaac, same to Jacob. But those lands, they are what? Pointing to the land of what? God in Christ. Are we together? So it means that the summary of Moses' 10 covenant words, or 10 dabas, or 10 commandments, are hinged on two things. Love God and love your neighbor. Are we together? So, let me ask you a question. Who initiates love, first of all? So it is God's initiation of love first that produces your love for him, then love for neighbor. I'll say it again. It is God initiating love first that subsequently now involves or introduces your love for God, and by extension, your love for your neighbor. So the proof of our love for God will be seen in how we worship God. Is that true? How we love God, and by extension, how we love our neighbors. So, everyone look at it. So, it means that, summarily, we can put all of these things into three cycles. Number one, God loves the people. Number two, people love God. Number three, neighbor. So, who is the first kickstarter of love? Who is the originator of love? Who gives love for you to receive their love back? God. Right? So, you can think, I love you forever. I love you forever. You can also sing, you love me forever. Because his love is constant, perpetual, adamant. Let's take it again. Who is the originator of love? God for the people. So we see that in deliverance. Remember, Moses first reminded the people of how God delivered them in the deliverance. By extension, you've come into a land, you now love God. And by extension, what happens? You love your what? Neighbor. So God initiates love. Are we together? We respond with our love to him, and by extension to what? Others. Are we together? Now look at Hebrews 13, verse 1. Excuse me. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let's read Hebrews 13, 1 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let what? Okay, go back to Hebrews 2 verse 11. Look at Hebrews 2:11. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. For both he that sanctifieth, is that you? Is that you? Not you, right? So let's read that again. 1, 2, 3, go. Who is he that sanctifieth? Beautiful. In the real context, who is he that sanctifieth? Christ, right? So let's continue with the 1, 2, 3, go. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. What's the word there, brethren? It's the word adelphos, that is from the same womb. So who does Jesus call brethren? Those he sanctifies. Are we together? So if you read Hebrews, everyone please follow. If you read Hebrews 2:11, when it says he's not ashamed to call them brethren, will Hebrews 13:1 now make sense to when it says, let brotherly love? Is that the summary of the Ten Commandments or Ten Words? God first sanctifies you. In sanctifying you, you become his people. You become his person. He now says what? Let that brotherly love continue. Is that love thy neighbor? You got that. So go back to Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. What do you suppose you would have read in Hebrews 12:29? What does it say? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So, if God is a consuming fire, and he now tells you, let brotherly love continue, what kind of love do you give others? Fire for fire. Consuming fire in love. Are we together? So, it means that we must understand what God is a consuming fire means. Are we together? God is my own. Yeah? You know, I like God's gracious part. It's so beautiful. But if you try me, If you try me, if you try me. See, guess what? It is the trying of man to Jesus that made you sanctified. Did you get that? It is the wickedness of man to Jesus and the peacefulness of Jesus that made you sanctified. So if he says both he that are sanctified and those who are sanctified are all of one, and he calls them brother, it means that you are to see an example of what? His consuming fire. Are we together?
Yes,
what did God's consuming fire do in Christ? Peaceful. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah? If Jesus had, see, imagine they were coming to Jesus. Jesus said, come now. Come now. Imagine that's what Jesus was doing. Yeah, when you read Hebrews 12:29, for God is the consuming fire, what will you do when people do evil to you? Come now. Pastor, he slapped me. I didn't slap him back. I just punched him. Are we together? So, for our God is the consuming fire, it means that the consuming fire of God is love. Or it means that the consuming fire of God consumes that which is not of love. Did you get that? The consuming fire of God consumes that which is not of his love. Let me now show you something. Look at, so let's read chapter 12, verse 29 to chapter 13, verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, let me allow you to finish writing. So, for our God is a consuming what? Fire. Verse 13, verse 1, chapter 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who started brotherly love? God in Christ. Is this the summary of the 10 dabas? God who became a brother to us brings us into a heritage, and we can call him what? Brother. What did he now say? Let brotherly love continue. Let me now show you something interesting. Look at verse 2. Let's read quickly, verse 2 to 6. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds and as bound with them, them which suffer adversities, as being yourselves also in the body. Verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but warmongers and adulterers God will judge. Is this about your girlfriend? Which marriage we Hebrews talking about? The marriage of brotherly love. Are we together? Are we together? So marriage is honorable and all the... So when it says, but warmongers and adulterers, it should be those who derive... Let me explain to you. Look at verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go! Who is an adulterer? Hold on. An adulterer is one who is not satisfied with his marriage. So he looked for what he feels is lacking in his marriage outside. Are we together? So he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such thing as you have. What is that thing? For he had said, I will never leave thee nor for. That thing should be contented by. See your shoe? Some have food, but cannot eat. Some can eat, but must you insult people before you are happy? We have food and we can eat. Glory be to thee, O Lord. So sometimes you think that is a statement of contentment, but it's a statement of what? Ignorance. Why? Because the believer derives contentment from that which God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So go back to verse 4. When it says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. So, but warmongers and adulterers God will judge. Who are the warmongers and adulterers? Those who will derive contentment or want to look for contentment outside the marriage bed. Did you get that? Did you get that? I'm married to a woman. The woman, I'm not satisfying my woman. She goes out. I went together. You are that woman, for instance. What should be your contentment derivation? Where should you derive contentment from in that marriage? I am with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. So when he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Are we together? But be content. What is covetousness? It is a spirit that eats so deep into the hearts of men. Yeah? When a man is always looking for that which, or is looking for how to derive pleasure from that which the world gives. Did you get that? Covetousness is that which, you know, allows a man to want to derive contentment or want to derive joy or happiness from that which the world gives. So, what should be our contentment phrase? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is it true? No. So, you say, Father, this morning, even though I'm looking forward to that contract, I'm grateful I have you. No, that's not Hebrews 13:5. Are we together? Now, look at verse 6. Okay, go back to verse 5. Let's read verse 5 into verse 6. We're going to verse 8 eventually. Hebrews 13:5. 1, 2, 3, go. Conversation, would that be conduct? Would that be conduct? Would that be slant to life? Would that be slant to life? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Is that going to be an approach to life? 1, 2, 3, go. Let's start again. 1, 2, 3, go. Are we sleeping? Say, I'm not sleeping. Say, I'm alive unto God. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read. 1, 2, 3, go. So, who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Look at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, so he said, we boldly say, and in our saying, he says what? The Lord is my what? Helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So his love is in his assurance that he will never leave us or forsake us. Is that God initiating love? So that we can boldly say he is our, and by extension, brotherly love continues. Did you get that? So, he has said so that we may boldly say. So, what is our confession? The Lord is... So, no matter... Hey, glory to God. So, it means that no matter the difficult situation you find yourself, this is what you should boldly say because he has boldly said. Did you get that? Yes, he has boldly said he will never leave you nor forsake you. But what should you say? You should say, this is my... Or the Lord is my helper. I will not fear all my shadow. Now, look at verse 37. Verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the words of God, who's faithful considering the end of their conversation. Verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus Christ the same. 1, 2, 3, go. So, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is it the same God? So, is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? So, if God did the work of sanctification to bring us into brotherhood, it means that when he says brotherly love should continue, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter the situation we find ourselves, that which will continue is his love. Are we here? Are we here? Let me now show you something in Luke 6. Let me show you something in Luke 6, 35. Let me ask you a question. Okay, look at Luke 6, 35. God sanctified me. Can Jesus call me his brother? God sanctified you. Can Jesus call you his brother? So God in you as brother is God in me as brother so that we can be brothers. So God in me as a brother is God in you as a brother so that we can be what? Brothers. So it means that if brotherly love should continue, we should carry that contentment of I will never leave you nor forsake you into our relationship with men. Are we together? If God says he will never leave me and forsake me, is that the same thing he says to him? So that he can say to me, hey, are we there? Yes. God initiates it. The people respond to him and respond to others. So God initiates brotherly love. He calls him brother, calls me brother, so that what? We will call ourselves what? Brother. So we are from the same womb. So it means that the contentment of I will never leave you nor forsake you should be what we carry as an approach into our relationship with men. Are we here? That's why it says let what? Brotherly love what? Continue. So brotherly love should not stop. So it means that God's brotherly love to you will be seen in my brotherly love to you. Are we here? God's brotherly love to me will be seen in God's brotherly love in you to me. Are you getting me at all? What did I say? So, God sanctifies me, God sanctifies him. In sanctifying him, it is that there's an ability for him to call God brother, or for Jesus to call him brethren, or Jesus to call us brethren. So the same thing God did to him is the same thing God did to me. So by extension, we're related. Right? What is brother? Brethren is the Greek word adelphos, and it means from the same womb. So it means that the womb you come out from is the womb I come out from. Are we together? So it means that in our relationship amongst ourselves, we must have that contentment in our mind. What is contentment? I will never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. So God, who will never leave me, is in me to never leave you. Are we together? I'll say it again. God, who is in me, who will never leave me, is in me so that I will never leave you. Did you get that? God, who is in me, right? What did I say? God, who is in me, who will never leave me, is in me so that I will never leave you. Are we here?
Yes.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Now, look at Luke 26:34. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be what? And ye shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the anybody who cannot thank God for what he has done. He will not do big. So we don't tell people about God's faithfulness so that we will psych him to. Whether we tell people about his faithfulness or not, that is his person. So it means that, glory to God. So it means that when a man doesn't deserve it, God is still God. God is still faithful. That God who is still faithful is in me to dispense to you even when you don't deserve it. Did you get that? That God in me has brought me into a heritage to call him brother. He is in me never to leave you, even though you are unthankful. Even though you don't deserve it. Are we together? So he says that, remember, Colossians 1:27, Christ in me. So where is God now? In the conversation of brotherly love, where is God? In me to continue what? To continue brotherly love. I'll say it again. In the conversation of brotherly love, where is God? In me. To do what? To continue brotherly love to what? Others. So he says, love your enemies and do good. So love your enemies. Is it, you know, this is different from, let me ask a question. If you take into different accounts of different, remember we're coming from Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments starts from God's love to man. Man responds to God by extension to what? Man. Right? So that is God who sanctifies. The sanctifier comes into you to sanctify you. By extension, you respond to him, which is actually subsequently responding to what? Man. Let me ask you a question. If you have a, let me ask you a question, my sister. Yeah? If, you can sit down, don't worry, sit down. If this is your friend, right? And he does evil to you. On the hierarchy of enemies, who will you put as number one compared to me, who is your friend, and someone does evil to me? Did you get what I said? On the hierarchy of enemies, say you want to have a table, like this woman, that sister that wants to realign. Say you want to have a table, yeah? On the hierarchy of your table, who is number one enemy? So who is that? Is it me or him? Him. So he's your number one enemy. Let me ask you a question. Which one will pay you more? Something somebody does to me. Who is your friend? Or something somebody your friend does to you. Do you understand? So it means that in Jesus teaching about your enemy, he has sorted out what happens between me and what someone does to me in reference to you. Are we following? Sister Rose, come. Sister Joy. Sister Favor. Favor and Joy, they're in the same family. So, come, Sister Brandon. So, both of you are friends. So stay together. Sister Favor, come. By extension, she's my friend. By extension, I am friends with her. Are we together? Sister Favor, you can come forward. But just shift a little. So, by extension, she's my friend. I don't do anything bad to her. He does something bad to her. She does something bad to me. Remember, what she did to me, because I'm friends with her, it will affect her. But which one will affect her most? The one he does to her. So which one is more painful? So it means that if Jesus says, love your enemy, she has no other excuse not to love my own enemy, which is her. Did you get that now? on the hierarchy of enemyhood. Who is number one? Brandon So. Who is number two? What Sister Favor did to me. So if Jesus tackles what she should do to him, it means that subsequently he has tackled what she should do to her. Clear? Please go back to your seat. Let's read that again. So love your enemies. Now, did Jesus say you will not have enemies? But what did he say you should do to them? Love your enemies. So when he says so that I may be children of the highest, what does that mean? It means that in showing that extraordinary love, you identify with God as Father, who is kind to the unthankful and the thankful. I'll say it again. That you might be children of highest will mean that you are to be, you are identifying yourself with that brother who is good to the good, the unthankful, or to those who do evil. So it means that God initiates love to set a template for us to follow. Are we here? Are we here? God initiates love, and in looking at God's love for mankind, which is dogged, that influences our love for what? Man. Please don't lose me, oh. Okay? Are we here? So if God says that you are a child of, if the Bible says you are a child of God, it means that the DNA of God is in you. Is that together? So it means that if I say God is merciful, I'm saying you are merciful. Are we here?
Yes.
Because the ability for God to be merciful is in you. So if I say God is kind, who am I saying is kind? So how do I teach you what you have? By teaching you who God is. Are we here?
Yes,
please, are we here? How do I teach you what you have? I teach you what you have by teaching you who God is. In teaching you God who is, you see who you are. Did you get that? So, when he says love your enemies, did God love his enemies? Go to Romans 5, 4. So, Romans 5, verse 5. Look at verse 5. And hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Look at verse 6. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 7. For scarcely righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man should, some would even dare to die. Verse 8. So when did God establish his love, or when did God supply his love to mankind? When man was in sin. Are we together? So when man was in sin, can you say mankind was the enemy of God? So if God says, if God in Christ says love your enemy, we have showed you what God did to his enemies, which is what? He loved us in that he shed the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus says, remember 1 John 5 will tell you that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Are we together? So it means that if God says love your enemies, it means that you should look at the example he has given. Are we together? And supply the same to others. So it means that identity is key in teaching mankind who he is. Or let me say it this way. Identity is key in mankind's relationship with others. Please write that down. Identity is key in mankind's relationship with others. Identity is key in mankind's relationship with others. So the best way to teach you who you are is to teach you who God is. Are we together? Are we together? I'll show you an example quickly before we go. So if I teach you that God is merciful, what am I teaching you directly? I am merciful. Why? Because his DNA is in what? Are we following at all? So if I teach you that God is kind, I'm teaching you that you are kind, because his DNA is what? Are we following? Beautiful. And look at something very important. Look at Matthew 26 quickly. Matthew 26 verse 40. Matthew 26 verse 40. Matthew 26 40. Are we together? 1, 2, 3, go. What are they doing? Look at verse 41. Quickly, let's read verse 41 to 50 quickly. Verse 41. 1, 2, 3, go.
Watch and pray.
For praying. Look at the next verse. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is willing. Verse 22. He went away again second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my father, this cup, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, that will be done." Verse 43. And he came what? For their eyes were what? Next verse. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Hello? Sleep on, take your rest. Is that sarcasm? Is that sarcasm? Is that sarcasm? Was Jesus sarcastic? Okay. So let's read that part again. Sleep on now. 1, 2, 3, go. So, did Jesus know ahead of time that man will betray him?
Yes.
What do you suppose that he wanted them to know or to do before that time comes? Pray. Now, did Jesus pray?
Yes.
Did Jesus' prayer stop the betrayer?
No.
Are we together?
Yes.
Did Jesus pray?
Yes.
Did Jesus know ahead that somebody will betray him?
Yes.
Did he know that he will be betrayed?
Yes.
What did he ask his people to do? To pray so that they will not enter into the temptation. So what did Jesus do to guide himself in approaching temptation? He prayed. Did the prayer stop the temptation? So the prayer doesn't stop temptation. Are we here? Look at the next verse. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sin. And now says, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." At this time, did Jesus know who will betray him? Did Jesus know who will betray him? Did Peter and the other guy who was with him, did they know who will betray him? Beautiful. So it means that in place of prayer, you can know what will happen ahead, and you can know the evil man wants to do to you. Are we here?
Yes.
In the place of prayer, you can know ahead. So Jesus knew ahead, and he now says, "Oh, pray." Let me look at verse 47. 1, 2, 3, go. And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with what? For the chief priests and elders of what? Look at next verse 48. Did Jesus know Judas would betray him?
Yes.
Did Jesus' prayer change Judas's choice? Was Judas's choice his choice? Was Judas's choice his choice?
Yes.
Was Judas's choice Judas' choice?
Yes.
What did Judas make? Judas make his choice to betray Jesus?
Yes.
Did Jesus know? What do you suppose Jesus was helping the disciples to do ahead of time? To keep their heart in check. Are we together? Jesus did not come and say, "You see, he will come in blue. And check his trousers, it will be white. For his shoe will be green. When you see him, kill him before he kills you." Are we together? See the next verse. See what he now says. So, it means that Judas gave them a sign. The person I kissed. You know when Judas says, "Whom I kiss is whom you take." Kissing in that day is just like who I give a handshake. So what did Jesus do? Jesus went and gave. take it. So it means that Judas went to Jesus, gave him a kiss, and by kissing him, he identifies who Jesus is. First of all, fundamentally, you must know that Jesus, as mighty as he was, could not have been distinguished from his disciples. It took a kiss for them to know who Jesus was. That's a meek man. It took a kiss for them to know who Jesus was. Is Jesus God? It took a kiss of a betrayal of a man to know who God was in the flesh. Look at the next verse. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master." He first of all washed him. What did he say? "Hail, Master." And he what? He kissed him. Look at verse 50. What did Jesus say unto him? Everybody, please, let's read this together. What did Jesus say unto him? And Jesus said, 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Jesus says to Judas, "Friend, wherefore had that come?" Did Jesus know before that?
Yes.
Was Jesus asking Judas what he came for because he did not know? What do you suppose Jesus was doing? Jesus was giving Judas a chance to repent. Are we together? Oh, okay, let's take a step back. Wherefore had thou come? Did Jesus know ahead that Judas was coming to betray him? When God asked them in the garden, "Where are thou, Adam?" Did you know where Adam was? So is this a rhetorical question like Adam's story? Are we together? But let me ask you a question. What did Jesus call Judas? "Wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and what? Took him. You see, I tried to look at the word there, friend. You know, it doesn't have any figurative expression. No, people can want to explain it away. The word is etarios. Yeah, etarios. Etarios. Something like that. And the word that means my friend. My what? Let me ask you a question. So, how did Jesus see Judas' betrayer? Jesus saw it as his friend betraying him. How do you see Judas' betrayer? Judas, the betrayer, betrayed Jesus. Are we together? What Judas did was what let them hold Jesus and took him for sanctioning and by extension to the cross. Is that terrible? Is that devilish? What did Judas do? Did Judas betray? Now, what did Jesus do to Judas? Backtrack. What is God's love? God's love is that adamant love that follows mankind to the end of time. Are we together? By extension, God is in the believer. So is God bold enough to say, let brotherly love continue? Why? So is God expecting you to learn brotherly love from outside thin air? Where does he expect you to learn it from? From his reaction to man. Are we together? So Jesus will say, Judas, who was my friend, who betrayed me. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you suppose Peter will say about Judas? The betrayer. Why do you suppose he will say the betrayer? He was sleeping. Are we together? Where do you suppose Jesus was strengthened to be able to say what he said despite the betrayer? In the place of prayer. So it means that in the place of prayer, we'll make choices. You can either choose to sleep or choose to reassure yourself of God's word, God's love. Are we together? So Judas came, betrayed Peter. What? Peter was sleeping. So Jesus knew ahead of Judas that Jesus knew ahead. Did not stop Jesus from being a brother. Are we together? Jesus did not say, and Jesus said unto him, betrayer, wherefore art thou come? So, Jesus went to pray. In the prayer, he knew what Judas would do to him. So, if Jesus calls Judas friend, it means that when people do evil to you, the first thing to do is to call them who they are. Are we together? In doing that, you are guarding your heart. Are we together? Are we together? In doing that, you are what? Guarding your heart. Did Jesus assure us that we will not have enemies? Let me ask again. Did Jesus assure us we will not have enemies? Are we going to have enemies? What is the instruction to the believer towards his enemy? Love. You know, let me say this. You know, how many of you have been betrayed here before? Let me see your hand. That you somebody did something to you and it pierced your back. Did Jesus say that that will never happen? What are you to do to that person? Love the person. Are we together? I'll say it again. When somebody stabs you with words at your back, what should you do to the person? Look at Matthew's Gospel 5, verse 44. Let's end Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your what? So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Is love an action word?
Yes.
Did Jesus say be neutral?
No.
When we're enemies to God, was God neutral? No. What did he do? He showed an action of love. Are we following? So when it says, bless them that curse you, is that being neutral? Is that being neutral? From the beginning, right? So if this is your enemy, remember, Sister Rose, remember, on the hierarchy of enemies, right? Who's number one? Someone who does evil to you. Should I show you one number one above that number one? Number one above that number one is someone who was never your friend and did evil to you. All together. That is proper enemy. This one is friend or enemy. Frenemy. This one is frenemy. Number one is what? Number one is the enemy, enemy. Are we together? So, this enemy, enemy, is it turn friend, enemy? So, it means that if God teaches what you should do to the number one enemy who was not your friend before, he has subsequently taught you what you should do to the man who was your friend that is now your enemy. So, he says, bless them that curse you, do good to them that what? Hate you. Did he say be neutral towards them? He says, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Dear saints, can your friend despitefully use you? Can I tell you something, for instance? Everyone look at me. Can I tell you something, for instance, and I tell you information against me to get promotion? Is it possible? Did the Bible say it will not happen? What did God ask me to do to him? Bless them. Love them. 45. That ye may be the children of your father. What is be the children of your father? You identify with him who loves his enemies. Or who loved his enemies. Are we together? For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the what? Unjust. 47, 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Dear sin, the real love work is found when you have an enemy. Did you get that? The real love work is found when you have an enemy, when you have someone who has despitefully used you. Remember, fundamentally is the Ten Commandments. Are we together? God gives mankind a template of love. By extension, man loves God and man loves. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not see, what do you suppose the reward is? What do you suppose the reward is when you love your enemy? The reward of loving for your enemy is to be associated as a child of the highest. That's the reward. You are identified as God. You are identified rather with God. What do I have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? So it means that, so look at it. If I love only those who love me and love only, if I love, look at me everybody. If I love only those who love me and love only those who love people that I love, I'm not different from a publican. Because a publican doesn't need to be a Christian to know that he should love someone who sends love to him. What makes me get a reward for my love work is when I associate with the what? Love work found in Christ, and I extend it to men by loving my enemies. Are we together? Look at 47. And if you salute your brethren only. If you what? Salute your brethren. With brethren there mean those of you that are on the same page. Those of you who are friends. Are we together? So if you salute, now remember, it means that if you salute your brethren only, you can be my brethren, my brother today, sorry, and not my brother tomorrow because of the evil you do to me tomorrow. Look at this now, look at this. I'm friends with everybody here. Right? I'm friends with everybody here. They're my brothers. I'm friends with everybody here. They're my brothers. So we're all brothers. But everybody here did something bad to me. Are we together? And by extension, I'm saluting only those who are still my brethren. What I'm doing to them, is that love work? No, it's common sense. So. Jesus says publicans do that. Are we together? So how do I associate myself with the Father which is in heaven? I associate myself with the Father which is in heaven by extending the hand of love towards them. That's not what they did. Did you get that? Yes. Beautiful. So, now, let me ask you a question. Is that to any way saying that what they did was good? But remember, we don't meet man and approach man for what they did to us. We don't respond to men based on what they did to us. But we respond to men based on what Christ has done for us. Are we together? I'll say that again. We don't respond to men based on what they did or they will do to us. Jesus did not respond to Judas based on what he knew Judas would do. If Judas had not killed himself, he would have become a member of God's household of faith. Peter denied 3 times. Petoro. Yet he preached the message that won 3,000 souls in Acts 2. Denial and betrayal. I didn't have family friends. You didn't know. Denial and betrayal. I didn't have family friends. Are we together? Let me ask you a question. Denial and betrayal, which one is higher? Denial. So it means that in the example, denial is higher, huh? Now, talk more of denying 3 times. So it means that in Jesus' response to the betrayal of Judas, We cannot know Jesus' response because Judas killed himself. But by seeing Jesus' response to Peter, he says, feed my flock. You can know what Jesus was about to do to Judas. Someone denied you 3 times. Somebody betrayed you. Once. Are we together? Yeah? The one that betrayed you killed himself. But you are saying that the one that denied 3 times is higher. So it means that when you see what Jesus did to the one who did something higher, by extension, it covers everything downwards. So it means that it covers a man who lies against Jesus. Is that together? So it means that if a man lied against Jesus, you know what Jesus will do. Are we together? So Jesus did not because, oh gracious Father, Jesus did not because of what Peter did, choose not to call a qualified man or give him the responsibility of what? Feeding the sheep, feeding the lamb. I'll close here. When man does evil to you, we don't respond to man. You know, let me tell you something. See, I will respect you, Sister Rose. I'll respect you more, right? If you came and met me and said, what this brother did to you is terrible. But what the Bible says I should do is love him. Well, Pastor, I'm not matured enough to walk in. No, Pastor, just allow me. Let me just walk in the flesh. I'll respect you more than you walk up to me. No, forget it. That Bible verse is not saying that. You are in self-deceit. What do a lot of us do today? We try to twist the Bible to exemplify or remove or exempt certain aspects to walk in love. So, what is expected from me towards you and your enemy? So, you must admit in your heart that it is love God expects from you. That trying to exempt certain situations of walking in love. See, in admitting that you have to walk in love, but you know you are not walking in love at the time, right? You are growing spiritually. Altogether. You know, I was talking to someone over a while ago. I was talking about how, you know, that there are some times, a lot of times, the reason why I feel like you betrayed me is because, in the real sense, what I told you, I could have done without telling you. Did you get that? Yes. Look at it. You're my friend, Sister Rose. Brian also. And it's always when you time go and drop Sister Pleasant. It's always going to next class and carry. I'm not saying he's doing anything there. Yeah? He just drops Sister Pleasant and just goes to next class and carry. One day I saw him at the same pace, was walking out of the door with one other woman. I had not said they were together. Are we together? Or let's say Brian so confides in me. Now, let me ask you a question. If Brian also tells me something, am I supposed to go and be broadcasting? Am I a town crier? Am I a talkative? Look at it. Brandon also tells me something about him. Maybe he tells me he's struggling with lying. Right? And he tells me, and I go and meet Sister Rose. Rose of Sharon. Eh? Do you know that, brother? He'll be leading prayer. Do you know? He will see the lie. He will see the lies lying in his office. You will think he's related to Muhammad. Some of you get when you get home. Oh, you are just getting it. Now, imagine I told you that, right? In the news, or let me use a more tricky conversation, so that we can just analyze and break everything, right? Remember, I told you if you don't answer me, I'll still talk, right? So, imagine he does something terrible to her, and he tells me, and I tell you. And he finds out that you know about it. What should he do to me? Let me ask a better way. What do you suppose he can do instantly to me? When he just sees me, he can deck me, right? Yeah. But what will show that he is growing spiritually is when he comes to me and decks me, and he comes back to me and says, what I did is wrong. Do you understand? To show he's a baby in Christ is that when he decks me finish, you say, yes, yes, even Peter cut off somebody's ear. What are you doing? You are twisting the Bible to what? Fit your unrenewed mind. Are we together? Are we together? Yes, have you learned something today? Yes. We'll take it a step further. That's what Peter now tells you in 1 Peter 2. We have an example in following Jesus. Everyone look at me, say, if Jesus can do it, I can do it. See, if Jesus cannot, if Jesus will not respond in hatred, and he responds in love, I can respond in love. Am I saying it's going to be easy? Like I said last week, the man that killed your father, it's not easy to look at him in the eyeball and say, friend. But don't explain it away and say, that is Jesus. Are we together? Don't explain it away and say, that is Jesus. What should you say? That is Jesus who is in me. And if he can do it, I can do it. Are we together? We continue on Wednesday, praying the Holy Ghost.